wanted to ask about accumulations in the park. We started to talk a bit yesterday evening whether accumulations can affect the park, or just one of the conditions which will... which will affect whether the vipaka will arise at a given time. So we were talking about, for example, if you're walking along here, similar visible objects that according to one's accumulation one may experience kusla or kusla vipaka. One of the factors which will affect whether it's kusla or kusla vipaka appearing at a given moment.
By one condition, the decisive support.
Because one tends to think there's nothing that can be done about vipaka, that it's already conditioned and must be this way at this time. But
one forgets
that the accumulations have a bearing at each moment on what vipaka may appear or be experienced. So that's why someone may win a fortune or win a lottery, but because of accumulation and other conditions, may not experience any kusala vipaka as a result.
Functions of karma.
Sorry, how many?
Four functions. The function which condition birth consciousness, the function which support, and the function which what you call upapilaka karma, get rid of.
Cuts off.
That is the last one, cut off. So it performs the function of the vipaka and also other vipaka until the other karma. For example, one is born to be a human like kusala vipaka.
One that conditions
on a daily basis or frequently how the accumulations affect the vipaka.
Or the citta, kusala or akusala.
Yeah, I tend not to think like that though. I tend to think of vipaka as something separate from kusala and from accumulations.
But one pachaya, the upanisya pachaya, condition either.
It does have an effect, a bearing on it. Okay.
Because there are so many, several karmas, which one is right?
Which one is right?
So it's not that pachaya to support, decisive support to condition such karmas.
Something that's just been making a lot more sense to me recently, and yes, I used to also think of it as being something separate. It reminds me of the discussion we were having last night about how the understanding of dana affects the dana. They're separate realities, but they affect each other. And the same way,
the synergistic effect, like you said, salt and spice and soup.
And the same with the accumulations, and the accumulations different from the vipaka, but will be interrelated, and like Prakantan says, which vipaka will be conditioned at this moment. So many conditions working together to determine the
conditions
just this moment.
For example, a moment of hearing and a moment of seeing. Yes, each moment is conditioned.
We're human by a past karma that conditioned the Patisandhi citta and carries on by the Vivanga citta, but the very next moment could be born anywhere, totally, completely different plane.
No idea what the karma is stored up.
Has it stored up? I remember going to a meditation centre once, and one of the talks was that when you're suffering pain while you're sitting, or you're experiencing dukkha or whatever, that you're getting rid of your store of past akusala vipaka, that you're using up the akusala vipaka at that time.
At the very least, you're understanding suffering.
So hang on in there. And
right, the more you do that, the you are knocking back the akusala vipaka.
Getting good credit for the future.
Yeah, right. That's if you're experiencing that akusala vipaka with equanimity with impatience. But of course, the store of akusala vipaka is rather unlimited,
it is.
So it doesn't quite work that way.
A few sore knees is too little to put a dent in the store of. You might have several lifetimes in the hell plane to exhaust.
Yeah, that'll take out a couple of the bad ones, Put on the Patichisamutpada. It's an interesting little passage on different types of attachment. And there's wrong view attachment, there's sense desire attachment, there's silabata upadana, attachment to that. And commentary explained that sense desire attachment is always the last one to go, but it's taught first, usually by the Buddha, because it tends to be a bit obvious. People can see strong attachment and the dangers of it to sense desire. Mm. So we can see that some strong forms of sense desire, that's taught first. And then Silabhata Upadana is taught second, because we can see this extreme versions of Silabhata, such as people, you know, standing on one leg and so forth. We can see the disadvantage of that. And self-view, wrong view, you know, attachment to self-view is taught last, because that's the most difficult to see. But it also explains the other, the more subtle forms of Silabhata Parama are Upadana and sense desire, pleasure, of course, very difficult to see. But the reason there's this progression in teaching is because of the obviousness of these ones. Yeah.
There has to be understanding of nama and rupa before there can be understanding of anatta and wrong view of self. So if there's no understanding of seeing a visible object, how can there be any understanding of wrong view?
Any deep understanding. There can be some sort of theoretical overview of anatta without any direct understanding of nama and rupa too, can't there?
Well, I think there has to be understanding of realities, because that is what understanding of anatta is all about, is understanding of realities. So many people say, oh, no self, no self, but it's just empty words. If there's no understanding of anatta and rupa.
There must be different stages of understanding developing all the way to attain the precise understanding of nama and rupa now.
The meaning of nama and rupa first. Some people will hear that and they will try to concentrate on nama and rupa and ignore other teachings, because they think first they're going to really somehow understand nama and rupa. And so they'll ignore some of the other theoretical teachings that seem more difficult to understand or more difficult to intellectualize about. But those other teachings actually support the understanding of nama and rupa.
Uh-huh. Like
the Paticchasamuppada. It's very difficult to comprehend it, even in an intellectual way, but if there is a little bit of understanding about it, it supports the understanding of not self.
Well, I think that the other way you could say it is that there's no understanding of, for example, seeing an invisible object or the difference between nama and rupa. I think it's very difficult to even have any theoretical understanding of Paticchasamuppada.
So it goes together. They all...
That's right.
It supports... Each side supports each other.
That's right.
Each other.
That's why I think, well, maybe as you suggest, it's good to hear... Listening and trying to develop more understanding of realities, but one needs to hear from different angles and directions.
Right, that's,
Like we were talking about the three rounds yesterday, or talking about the Sankhara Khandhas, or it's just a different ways of helping one to understand the anattaness of realities.
Right. Dhammapada wasn't just taught to people who had already completely understood nama and rupa, it was also taught to support the development of that understanding.
To help them understand them.
Right.
But it's the deepest part of the teaching, because it talks about the Paticchasamuppada and conditions, Pajjaya. If they don't know what is what,
they don't know what nama and rupa is.
What conditions are.
How can they understand the more complex nature?
That's why people just want to hear. They don't have foundation understanding about reality at all. They just want to listen to the Paticchasamuppada.
Why do they want to listen?
Because it's like the Four Noble Truths. They'd like to hear about high level understanding.
Okay.
They want to hear about the Vipassana Jnana, they want to hear about the enlightenment, they want to hear about karma.
The Papana, easier to understand than the Paticchasamuppada, it seems. Because the details are, there's a lot of details there, it seems somehow I can grasp it easier than the Paticchasamuppada, which is sort of profound and pithy and very brief.
They are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Samoha Vinudani translation. Under the Paticchasamuppada, the classification of the structure of conditions, page 167. Clinging, upadana, has the characteristic of grasping. Its nature is not releasing. It manifests itself as strength of craving and as false view. Its proximate cause is craving. And that's interesting that false view is a manifestation of upadana. It's not always obvious that wrong view is associated with upadana.
It has to have one of the three roots, though, doesn't it?
Mm. Read that again, please.
Clinging, upadana, has the characteristic of grasping. Its nature is not releasing. It manifests itself as strength of craving and as false view.
This is one thing.
Yes. That's going on about clinging. Then the next one, bhava, has the characteristic of karma and karma result. Its nature is causing to exist and existence. It manifests itself as the profitable, unprofitable, and indeterminate. Its proximate cause is clinging.
What was the word?
Bhava. Upadana, pachya, bhava. And tanha, pachya, upadana. This is just one part. It's a manifestation of upadana, wrong view. It's so associated with clinging. I notice people usually think of wrong view as something not so bad. I mean, if you talk to someone about their views or about anyone's views, they'll say, well, everyone has a right to their own views, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your opinion and so forth. And usually there's very little danger seen in wrong view. But as it's part of the Paticchasamuppada, very, very much a part of the Paticchasamuppada.
What is the worst thing?
I think wrong view. And this clearly supports that. Yeah.
It hinders you to have right view.
Right.
From life to life, if there's still the clinging, the upadana of wrong view.
Some people might say, well, everyone's got a right to their view, though. What's the difference between right view and wrong view? Right view is just your opinion, and the other sort of view is just my opinion.
Because that's not the reality of right
and
the reality of wrong. It's the thinking about me or my view.
Mm.
Also, sometimes a view can be something that's not on a matter of any real importance. One might hold a view but not hold it with any conviction.
With any strong clinging.
Mm. And so it's talking about views that are firmly held and that affect one's practice, I suppose.
Such as the view of self and or sila bhata, the banana, those sort of views that condition
views
wrong practice.
That make it impossible for one to hear or appreciate
the right practice, the right way.
Like one might cling to the ideal that house is better than that house, but that doesn't affect one's, it doesn't, that's not what it's talking
about. Or one politician is better than another.
That's right, but that doesn't affect one's ability to
develop understanding.
Right view or
Good.
Also, I suppose some people can hold a view about a particular religion, but only because they haven't heard anything else. And then when they hear something else, so they hear Dhamma or some aspect of it, that makes sense and they're able to appreciate the merit of it. The views they've been holding are only
not clung to so strongly.
Yeah, it might be just because they've been brought up in a particular way. And they follow the religion as a matter of convention and family tradition rather than anything else.
Right.
So there must be different degrees of wrong view, are there, Ajahn?
Every degree of everything.
Hmm. Yeah. Different degrees of kusala and different degrees of akusala. What would be a very subtle form of sila bhata, upadana?
At the moment when there is awareness and then there is not enough understanding, so one is trying to do something in order to understand, like trying to concentrate on that particular object instead of let go, because one cannot do anything and other reality has arisen already.
Okay. So that moment is akusala?
When it's akusala, it tells what it is.
Mm.
That's why it tells samudaya of the noble truth.
Samudaya.
The second truth.
The second noble truth.
Right understanding has to see clearly and it knows when and where it arises in order to eliminate attachment so that there is no hindrance to go on, keep on understanding realities.
So even in the midst of awareness, there can be a subtle form of clinging to wrong practice.
Well, one could say that is a wrong view at that time.
But then it's
if
not
one,
right.
If one has the idea that by concentrating more on this
that
idea,
that is the slightest.
One
knows exactly what is what by having higher and keener panya.
What is the way to appreciate Paticca Samuppada?
Understand reality and the meaning and the teachings.
So just different ways of analysis to
having
more
understanding. Yeah.
In the Paticca Samuppada commentary, it mentions that even kusala karma, like is still part of the wheel of Paticca Samuppada. Even doing kusala, even jhana is still
because
building the bricks.
It's not the way to break the circle of birth and death.
Well, one could say every reality is except for nirvana, every conditioned reality.
Except the development of understanding.
So it's good to be more aware of wrong view.
To develop understanding of reality, to understand more and more, clearly and clearer.
I suppose it's like any other form of akusala, it's good to see it.
Akusala is not you, it's not anyone, it's there.
Yeah. Wrong view is not you.
Right.
Right view is not you.
Mm-hmm. Until it's all cleared by right understanding that nothing is considered or can be self or I at all.
Don't feel happy when you have right view because it's not you. Don't feel happy when you're unhappy when you have wrong view because it's not you.
Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
No doubt anymore about realities.
I don't have much doubt now, but that's because there's so much ignorance.
One thing I noticed sort of over the years now, at first sort of learnt a lot and studied a lot, and you can see that you're gaining knowledge and understanding, but now it's a sort of plateaued off. But on the other hand, the confidence still seems to grow little by little, but the understanding maybe doesn't seem like it's growing much, but the confidence is certainly stronger.
Having understanding that it's not like jumping from one step to another step, but it grows little by little.
Yes.
One cannot say that one does not understand anything at all today.
No,
see?
I don't feel that.
But it doesn't mean that one has lot of understanding instantly.
Mm.
Plan to do something on your own and find you end up with a group, or sometimes you can plan to go with a group and end up going off on your own anyway.
I think people in other cultures and other countries seem more the same. Everyone seems the same in a sense these days too, you know. Whether I'm in Japan or New Zealand or Thailand, everyone almost
the same.
Yeah. Just dosa, lopa, moha, that's all. Different types, different levels.
By way of nationality, just by way of accumulation.
Yes.
Now, we all have a tendency to rationalise and think the way we do it is appropriate and proper. It would be better if one was just more aware of one's kilesa at the time.
Because of the self?
Because of the self, yeah.
That's what causes all the problems, right?
I don't think it matters at all if someone doesn't want to join because they don't want to be with a group. It doesn't matter at all, or if someone wants to go off on their own. Never mind, I don't think it...
No, but like if in the case of faith, for example, the person we were just talking about thinks that they miss out on a lot of opportunities for useful. I mean, a person has accumulations to understand the Dhamma but cannot stand being in a situation like this, then they miss out, obviously. So
well, I don't think it matters so much because then they can enjoy other opportunities, like they may read more than someone else, or they may join us more for discussions on our own.
But still, if there was more, even more understanding, then they would find out any situation not so difficult, any situation acceptable.
The accumulations can be so strong. It's a bit even when the understanding develops, it doesn't mean one's personality or one's accumulations change.
No.
Problems dealing with people, and I was reading part of Nina's letter. She has problems dealing with her father's dosa, and she has to remember his dosa and mana are not a person's.
if we think of less of person, less aversion, all very logical. But I didn't develop much sati sampajanya, and then the applying is so hard. I should have compassion instead of aversion, but very difficult. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, because I think that there is only one way. The sure way is developing understanding of reality which appears, that's all.
And sometimes, in fact, and I just wrote in my letter, maybe it's better to understand one's accumulation than to think, oh, I should have compassion instead of aversion, because then one has aversion to one's aversion, or one thinks, oh, this is wrong, it shouldn't be like this, but it is, it's conditioned that way, though
we cannot say, we cannot try, we cannot think, because those seems possible. But in reality, I think that the Buddha said that there is only one way to really be aware and understand that there is no one at that moment, only one's own citta or cetasika or rupa. The object appear and there is thinking about story. So one has aversion because of one's own thinking.
Now, I have a comment on this, because one can have, say, long periods of dosa or whatever, understanding there can only be
and
very
one
rare moments.
Has read a lot about ways to have less, see, but at that very moment.
Yeah, but when there's no conditions for right understanding at the moment, is there some other right way of thinking?
Yeah. So many ways, but it depends on whether there can be that reality or not in such time. So if we develop sthipatthana on and off, and we don't mind, because the goal is to understand reality, not just to have less.
Not to have less aversion.
Or more, yeah.
But of course we mind if it's so much aversion, because it's unpleasant. Yeah. No one likes pleasant.
No matter how many ways you try and try very hard, it's not effective at all, because there is still the idea of I and the other.
Yeah, I think dosa can be less of a problem, even if there is dosa. There's moments when we understand dosa is not self, even if it's only just a moment of thinking of dosa is not self. It seems to take away the sting a little bit. Maybe.
Momentarily.
And actually, I think it's very helpful being reminded that it's dosa to the thinking, it's not the personal thing out there.
Actually, I think that the more there is understanding, that's enough, no matter in what situation you are.
Because you can change the situation. You can say, well, like in this case, oh, I spend less time with my father. Yeah. But then you can spend less time, but still the same stories.
Different sorts of thinking.
Yes.
So when there is more understanding, the understanding will work its way by be able to think about in such different ways, or having sati at that very moment. We don't know.
More understanding conditions, wiser thinking.
More and more understanding of realities.
Clinging to the self.
As long as there's not nama and rupa and no one, nothing. Just a moment has gone all the time. Yeah.
All the problems are sometimes good in a way. They're little tests in life. The more problems we have, sometimes if we have problems in life, they're okay to as a test. You know?
It's bound to be like that. It's no way to avoid it. Everything goes along comfortably, and then it's changed.
Like one is always trying to find ways to help situation.
Yeah. Huh?
All the time. But what about the right understanding if there is none?
Right. It's always
trying to change. Not always ways to help situation. One's looking for ways to deal with one's kilesa.
No.
That's not helping. That's not a situation.
Because I think that is what we are doing, like trying and looking for what could be better. It's only the self who is thinking.
So when one thinks, for example, like in this case, someone else's aversion or someone else's dosa is so difficult to deal with, and this is such a problem situation, it shows one's just thinking of the situations. Yeah.
And one clings to oneself all the time. Otherwise, if one lets go, what about this moment? So one clings and clings back all the time. what one has done, what was going just a moment ago.
What someone's done to one, what is happening.
It's sort of an indication. When we have a lot of dosa, it's an indication that it's a warning to us that there's no awareness at those moments. It's like the red light's on, right? There's no awareness.
And it shows one's own clinging to oneself. So there is only application, sati, developing understanding. Because when we talk about realities now, see, there can be more and more understanding. We don't have to think about different ways to apply to different situations.
Or to avoid dosa, or to...
Yeah, thinking of trying to help the situation is sort of, it's a very roundabout method, whereas understanding realities is the real going straight to the heart method.
And so often we think the problem is, oh, this friend that's let one down, or one's elderly parent, or but actually one's always mixing with people who are difficult, or there's always going to be some problem. And
a kusala vipaka can't always be avoided.
No.
That is not putting the salt in the water.
Sorry, not putting the salt in the water, you know. Or the salt in the soup, we were talking about last night.
Yeah, how does that apply that to this case?
Just talk about the story.
Sometimes it does seem, though, if a particular, for example, person is a condition for a lot of aversion or situation, and sometimes it does seem, oh, okay, if one just keeps away that, or maybe less conditions for aversion. Of course, it's temporary and it's not any understanding, but it sometimes seems to be a good practical.
Oh, in that situation, I think that there should be the question asking oneself or understanding oneself that there is not enough right understanding.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And also, if there's more understanding, there would be more metta and less clinging, for sure.
Otherwise, one would like to have this result while there is no condition enough, not having aversion.
And it seems that the main thing is one minds most about one's aversion. It's not one's not really concerned for the other person, but one minds about one's aversion, or one minds about their aversion.
So aversion is good. It just shows us the clinging to self.
Anything, any moment. Even now, there is no aversion.
Yeah.
But there can be talk about the development of understanding, putting salt in by having understanding more about realities.
But there are always more conventional things one can do if one has difficult situations in one's life. Doesn't it help to discuss these also?
It seems like one is so good, so nice, but what about right understanding? And one day one would be so bad, see? Who can stop conditions from the worst happenings by one's own accumulation, which hasn't been eliminated.
What about someone who experiences severe depression?
Or is suicidal, or...
But okay, I'm talking in a with people who understand Dharma. If severe depression is seen as a reality, I mean, severe depression, we say severe depression, and that's a situation, but if you break down severe depression, it's moments of unpleasant feeling, it's moments of sanya about some past event or something, it's moments of thinking. And if those are broken down and seen, then what is severe depression? It's just moments that pass.
For the person suffering from severe depression for hour after hour, for example, they may not have strong accumulations for awareness of realities or developing understanding.
But what else will really help them than other than developing those accumulations?
Good would be the super person who can help anyone in any situation, even there is no accumulation to follow your instruction.
Reality, then
it's like you have lots of medicine.
Lots of different kinds of medicine, exactly. If one's talking about dharmas and realities, that's one thing. Another time one's talking on another level and one's giving other solutions. It doesn't really go to apply the other medicine.
just reflecting about Nama and Rupa, that breaking down the person, the idea of this is somebody saying something bad to me, but just reflecting on it, that it's just Namas and Rupas, or it's just sound, so forth, things like that, really, really cut through the dose of really, really effective. But even though I was only thinking about it, wasn't any great level of understanding. I was just thinking about it in a wise way. Very.
There's so much ignorance the rest of the time that just a little bit of useful considering can help cut the stories.
Yeah, and that's instead of having to, you know, go to marriage counsellors or get divorced or whatever, that was my way of coping, you know, my strategy. In a sense, it's a strategy for coping too, but it's also building understanding as well. You know, sort of killing two birds with one stone.
One problem that she finds very difficult that she could be overwhelmed with dosa about is if something good happens to someone, for example, a colleague gets promotion which she feels should be her due, it's almost impossible for her to have any mudita, take any pleasure in others' good fortune. Also, I think for some people it's very difficult to have any metta too. Is this just because of the strong clinging to self?
Everyone who doesn't have panya yet.
And is there any way for someone to see the strong view of self, no other way to go? So if someone clings a lot to the idea of self, there's no use to talk about metta or mudita.
Like all my nieces who are not interested in the teachings, what can I do? Let them go.
Even if you see, for example, that life is very difficult for them because they cannot appreciate the value of mudita or metta, but even they cannot understand or appreciate anatta, but can you talk to them about metta? Or
they don't listen. Life is so alright for them.
Or even if it's not alright, even if they have a hard time.
They have their own way. They have their own way, yeah. So Dhamma is not for all, not for everyone, only for those who have accumulated satta, confidence.
Talking to someone who can't appreciate it, but it seems that for different people, different aspects are stumbling blocks.
You can give advice, that's all, as much as you can, as best as you can, for different situations, but there is no particular rule.
But talking about other aspects, she may be able to appreciate it. But I know when she goes home, she's sometimes overwhelmed by the dosa because of lack of mudita.
For me, just feel worse developing satipatthana.
It's helpful too when one hears about, for example, some characteristics of metta explained in a different way or different aspects about mudita. It can help one to appreciate
the value. We don't know. Let them find their way, because they know about Dhamma, they know about satipatthana, but who can condition the citta to arise?
It depends on the accumulations too.
Mudita certainly doesn't arise very often with myself, I must say. It seems to be a rare appearance, mudita.
I think that it's the simplest one.
The simplest one,
yeah,
mudita?
Very easy.
I must have a competitive nature or something.
You don't have to do anything, just rejoice.
Just in someone's success.
Pleasantly. Thinking about the vipaka that one has.
Maybe it's lack of confidence in karma and vipaka that makes it, like, for example, a colleague gets a promotion and you think how unfair, they didn't deserve it, they didn't work hard. Well, it's because one can't, even though one hears so much about vipaka, still one thinks it's unfair, or one can't really appreciate that. It's that person's turn.
Because we don't know the karma from the past that actually conditioned.
Even the one that does not like you at all, then one can have metta, mudita.
One can, but
yes.
I don't.
Very easy.
The easiest
one.
Jonathan has a lot of natural mudita every time, always.
You can see different accumulation.
For him it's very strong.
For me, the four Brahma Vihara, I cannot say that I don't have karuna, but my karuna is not strong enough to help.
Like his,
I have metta very easy, mudita and ubekha. Not easy, not difficult at all. But for Karuna, I know that I have, but not as strong as other people who help instantly. Yeah. But I do have sympathetic or compassion.
Yes. No, different accumulation.
Yeah.
For me, the Karuna has always been the easiest.
I will be the last one. Because when I see the sick person, I don't know how to help, how to do, how to put.
But it's not a matter of doing or helping, it's a matter of the citta that...
But for the elder, they rush to do because...
But that's because of the citta is there, so there's no consideration of what to do what, because it's just automatically going out to... help the person that needs in whatever way is.
Even my grandmother who was dying, I didn't know how to help her, but I had Karuna. But I couldn't just open her mouth and wipe and do it. I couldn't.
But it's not something necessarily depending on the outward appearance or what you do. I may not also open the mouth because I'm clumsy with these things, but still the karuna can be there, even if it's just smiling at her.
My karuna is that level. Because I really be the last one who would do. Maybe the other could easier.
I think I have more equanimity, but maybe it's, I'm not sure, sometimes it might be indifference too, so it's, but I think out of the core, equanimity seems when I have more.
For Jonathan, definitely mudita.
Mudita, right?
Very happy that anything good happens to him.
Interesting.
Like that. If his colleague who is very lazy and very mean to him gets a promotion, he's happy instantly.
I would never have that.
It's so pleasant to hear about the others, Kusala Vipaka.
For me, much easier than before. Like, I can't go on a holiday and I hear someone else having a lovely holiday. Now I'm happy and I'm glad. So it can develop.
If that person gains some success, it's because it's due to him, because nothing comes to you unless it's due to come to you.
So it's a sort of reflection on karma.
It's a sort of reflection on karma, Vipaka.
Even equanimity, I think that it's the understanding of the Dhamma and Vipaka.
That is definitely, equanimity is very much to do with karma and Vipaka.
And metta, I used to in the beginning not really appreciate all, but now
how karma and vipaka now, understanding that can support mudita, for example, and certainly supports equanimity. And last night we sort of talked around how more understanding can support generosity, the different levels of generosity too. So it's quite interesting how these other aspects of Dharma that don't necessarily seem related. But they are, of course. But they are, and this is what I find interesting. But with metta, It's not so obvious to me how, say, understanding karma and vipaka would condition metta.
When it's real metta, like Saddam, my question comes again to Saddam.
Okay, because we have a sort of compassion for Saddam because we know he's done bad things, but...
And if Saddam were here, can there be metta, be friendly to him? Are you hungry? Giving him something, thirsty.
Also, perhaps one
could. Sometimes I do have metta, because I can do that.
Perhaps one can also say, as one knows other people like to be happy or to be smiled at or be given nice taste, just like we do. So other people like to experience kusala vipaka in the same way that we do. So in that sense,
metta is to be friendly.
To everyone, like a smiling face or nice taste.
Or even refraining from showing anger or something can also be metta.
Not hurting the other, not have ill will or ill intention.
Can we explain how karma and vipaka would support more understanding of karma and vipaka?
You don't have to do anything to anyone. You do not have to hurt anyone by words or speech at all, because he deserves what he has done, good or bad.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to be angry
to have,
with them.
Yeah.
Right. It's the opposite. The meter is the opposite of anger.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Whatever bad he has done, he will receive the fruit of that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, yeah. So it supports all of Brahma Viharas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sort of understanding. Yeah. Okay.
Right, sometimes people say, oh, how can you treat him so nicely when he's done that?
Yeah. It's the Kusala Citta which can do that. So it's the Akusala Citta which sees the Akusala Citta, or Kusala Citta which sees the Akusala Citta. Akusala Citta which sees the other's Akusala Citta. Or the Kusala Citta, which sees the other's Akusala Citta.
Well, usually it's the Akusala Citta that sees the other's Akusala, mm-hmm. but can be the Kusala Citta.
Certainly, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha.
Can still see, like you can still see the terrible things that Dhamma does, but you can see it with
explained that the Buddha had headaches in his last life as a Buddha because of, I forget, but he'd done some deed in the past and he'd roasted in hell for it for so long that as a remnant, final remnant in his last life, he had headaches on occasion. Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Which was interesting because I had a headache after I got back from that run. it was sort of, I could reflect, oh well, I had a headache
after I got off the band too. Yeah.
Let's hope it's a final remnant also.
Putting a smallest grain of salt at that very moment in the water. Because when it's awareness, it's the bigger grain.
Bigger grain,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But just thinking about this, just a very, very tiny, tiny little
grain.
Oh, well, it's better than the opposite anyway.
Uh-huh.
Another question about mana. Factor, or if someone behaves badly or treats one badly, one knows the problem is not enough understanding, but sometimes it's the mana that gets in the way
at that
makes
moment.
It so difficult to have metta.
So we can understand that many, many realities had passed so soon, very quickly in a moment, if there is no awareness, there is no understanding of what was there.
And even when we talk about the Brahma Viharas, like also often one thinks, oh, this is karuna, or this is metta, and then the more one understands, one realizes, no, it's not. It's so easy to kid oneself that one has more moments of metta or karuna, but the moments that change so rapidly.
Yeah. It will condition the next moment because of the understanding of this. There will be condition for each one to arise by conditions. Mm.
Yes, right.
I'd like to hear more about the relationship between accumulations and vipaka. We were talking about how they connected because of upanisya, paccaya. But it's just something that I've been reflecting on a lot recently about how, for example, if one has dosa, it seems that it may be a condition not to experience pleasant visible object. Is that because there's not enough understanding, or is that really how it is?
Everything depends on not having enough understanding.
Is there anything more you can say about that relationship? No?
That says it all.
Putting salt or poison, it depends on putting salt or poison, the akusala, akusala. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See that little tiny grain of salt you mentioned before? Mm-hmm. I'm happy to have that because it's, at least it's not the poison.
Mm-hmm. Like if one's talking about the headaches that the Buddha's experiencing, one knows these are results of previous deeds, but there need to be a certain conditions at any moment working together for that headache to be experienced. One can say it's not inevitable. Maybe if it wasn't the Buddha who had accumulating so much kusala for a moment.
The time is poison, which carry on from moment to moment until he became the Buddha, but it's still there. See? Yeah. So I think that the way is to read more and more of the Tipitaka and commentaries, like what the book that you brought, and then having more understanding so that we can apply, because situations are always different from one here and there in one's life, and not only in one particular life, in lives. Dharma and realities, you can pass.
Exactly, you're even.
You can pass the test.
Yeah. For example, there are 17 kinds of sati, say. And when you read, it seems that it doesn't concern with sati at all, but it is something like that.
Jambudipa.
India.
But
The whole world.
That's what I thought, because otherwise it seems. And what are the other continents? Are they other worlds, other human worlds? That's what I thought, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. It's just India. Yeah. But sometimes in the commentaries, Jambudipa is India
because
sometimes.
Because at that moment, nowhere to go to other places.
Right.
So that's
the way we should read it.
Yeah.
Usually the whole world, but sometimes they mean only India.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read in the English comments on the commentaries, sometimes they treat it like it's some, strange, ridiculous myth or something, because they read it in the wrong way.
In the context of people living there at the time and not able to go elsewhere.
Yes.
The precise understanding of that which experience, which is different from the visible object now, which is seen.
The nama.
It's impossible to understand this by sitting in the room.
Impossible?
Just sitting in the room and meditate.
Without any understanding developing.
How can there be the understanding of the nama which sees this moment?
But people have visible object and nama and sitting in their room too.
But what about the method?
If the method's wrong, it's impossible.
So can there be the understanding?
If the method's wrong, no.
What do you mean by the method, though?
Well, if people think that sitting in a room, concentrating on something, is going to... is the method.
Sit in the room.
But if it's...
not going anywhere for months, for days.
Someone could do that if they had understanding, though.
Why?
Maybe they like sitting in rooms for days.
Your nature?
Not me. No, I hate it.
Their nature?
There'd be a monk or two in the Buddha's time it was their nature to do that.
Really? Not going out for food? For almsgiving?
Only for that reason.
See? Not in the room. Just keeping oneself in the room.
Mm.
Waiting for something. Mm. Wishing for something. And what about lay people? Why do they follow that path without understanding at all? Like the blind person. Follow the blind person.
Yeah, the only method, if we call it a method, is to have understanding. And that understanding is not dependent at all on time or place or situation.
And understanding will not distort one's life to be another person.
One will follow one's accumulation with understanding.
One understands instantly because reality arises and falls away so fast.
What would the person be doing sitting in the room anyway?
One of 100 things, I guess. Different ideas they have of what is the right way to attain vipassana and become enlightened.
He said not if it was the wrong method. So
okay.
If it was the right method, what would they be doing while they were sitting?
Developing understanding. Naturally. That's the only right method. Developing understanding of nama and rupa.
They couldn't be doing that all the time though, could they?
Well, sati isn't something that would happen all the time.
they may think about their lunch in between.
or they may reflect on the Dharma or things like that too.
Sitting and see, sitting and see.
In the commentary about the Satipatthana part of the Vibhanga, it talks about the feeling, Vedana. The Satipatthana Sutta says, the monk knows he is, I am knowing a pleasant feeling, I am knowing an unpleasant feeling. And the commentary explains, even a baby lying on its back knows that it is experiencing a pleasant feeling or an unpleasant feeling. The type of knowing meant in this case is not that type of knowing. This type of knowing that the Buddha meant uproots the sense of self and so on, and it's a type of knowing that understands conditions, understands there is no self. Okay, then that's fairly clear, although a lot of people wouldn't realise that. The next thing is, there's an example of a monk, a bhikkhu, who's rolling about in pain and groaning from the immense pain. And a young monk says to him, "Venerable sir, where does it hurt?" And the older monk says, "There is no place where it hurts. There is just, because of the basis, there is unpleasant feeling because of the basis." And the young monk says, "At that time, if one has such understanding, surely one should endure, Venerable Sir. But I don't understand why there's no place, why the old monk said that there's just unpleasant feeling."
Because you see that it seems like we are now in this room,
yes,
a place. But actually, when citta arises, experiences an object, where is the place?
That's true. Yeah.
But the concept of place must be there, even if one is a person who has developed
at that moment.
At that moment of understanding, when experiences
just a moment of experiencing, there is no place. That's why one can understand the Arupa Brahma. Whenever there are conditions for citta to arise, no place, it experiences.
But still, the young monk wanted to help the old monk by asking where it hurt so he could apply some medicine or something. So
maybe, don't know. He might have just been nosy. You know how the story goes.
It depends on who asks and who answers, and who understands.
The young monk certainly said that he thought the old monk had great understanding to reply in that way, because he said, if one understands to this extent, it is good to endure. You know, if you have such good understanding, in other words, surely you should stop groaning.
You see that when one is trying to pinpoint the place at that moment, that's not the understanding of that reality which experiences.
That's interesting.
Because one is looking for the base or the rupa, not the understanding of the experiencing.
Or of the rupa itself.
I still find it a little bit difficult though to...
Because there must be the base for citta to arise.
Yes.
But whenever understanding of reality like nama, no place. Otherwise it cannot be the realization of the characteristic of nama.
Okay.
But a person who is having moments of awareness can still carry on a conversation using conventional terms.
Certainly. Exactly the same.
Right. But in this instance,
but there is the understanding of nama, which is quite different from rupa.
So perhaps the
to have more and more distinction between nama and rupa, until there is no doubt, so and that understanding is so clear, eradicated all the doubt about the situation or moments.
So perhaps the older monk is indicating to the younger monk that he doesn't need any medical attention or whatever.
He's just talking about the
reality. He's just talking about awareness, the realities that he's seen. It's interesting, the conversation goes on. The younger monk says, "To endure is good, Venerable Sir." In other words, shut up your groaning, please. So the older monk endured. At that time, his entrails pushed out through his stomach wall and laid on the bed.
the older monk revealed the intestines to the younger monk. Is enduring to this extent admirable, friend? And the younger monk was silent, and the older monk yoked samatha with vipassana and attained arahatship at the same time as death. Very interesting story. But anyway, the important question I had was about why the monk didn't think of a place. So we'll go through understand. This was it's a commentary, it's in the Samuha Vinidani, and it's the commentary to the Satipatthana Vibhanga. But it's also, I've read the commentary, the same commentary in the, I think the Majjhima Nikaya commentary on the Satipatthana Sutta. They've got the same example. Seeing, Jonathan was saying, it's like seeing also. When there's awareness of seeing or visible object, there's not thinking about where the seeing is or the particular visible object. There's just understanding of rupa or nama, if there is awareness.
That reality is the rich experiences.
Experience in the body is hardness, softness, heat, cold. It's not stomach or here or there.
The understanding of stomach, but not the same moment.
But not the same moment.
Understanding of stomach. Isn't it just thinking about it?
Everyone knows, and what knows is citta, which knows again. Again and again, all cittas. Each moment, yeah. When there is understanding of it, no doubt about citta, experiences object all the time.
Does it matter if citta experience is more concept than awareness? There can be understanding of citta experience and concept as well?
It's just citta.
Just citta?
Yeah. Otherwise, there would be clinging again.
Clinging to having.
Not having.
Not having Pandati. Yeah, that's right. I'm someone who wants to progress and so forth. But if I was a scientist or an accountant with a very busy job and I'm having a lot of concepts all day that are interfering with contemplation of Dharma, shouldn't I try and cut down all
that? Understanding that all are only nama and rupa. So there is I who interfere.
It's just a test of the developer one's understanding that it seems so difficult to have any awareness in the midst of a lifestyle like that.
Nina quoted you once, or she wrote herself, that panya comes in very quickly in between. It's like moha at this moment arises very quickly, or lobha arises very quickly, and so also panya or awareness can arise in between the akusala very quickly again too. So
yeah. By conditions it is sama sati, otherwise it is the eye
making it happen.
Yeah, or lips in between. Because the core of the teaching of the Buddha is understanding and become detached. It does mean that wanting and become attached. So it can be a reminder for whenever there is the intention to want to have, to gain result, to get result, that is not the way.
It's a sort of a knife edge between not wanting or just neglecting, though on the other hand the path isn't one of neglecting and it isn't one of
the path depending on conditions. Yeah. So one knows that without right condition it's impossible to try to groan for having sati or panya.
And what are the conditions?
Now? Yeah.
Discussing, hearing,
putting tiniest salt in from time to time.
Salt here and there.
Yeah.
Depending on conditions.
Yeah.
I think this kind of discussion is very supportive conditions for better understanding, whether it's intellectual level or in actual level of satipatthana. Mm-hmm.
of different realities and different doorways. It would be nice if one could carry this kind of thing into one's daily life a bit more, but unfortunately there are long periods without this kind of support. Hopefully the awareness or understanding is developed so that there is a difference in one's daily life comparing now with some years previous.
But why should there be a difference between now and our daily life?
Well, because you asked the question, what are the conditions for having more awareness and understanding realities? And the answer is hearing. Sankara, this explains that, in fact, there is no one cause that gives one result. Or there is always multiple causes. But the blessed one uses one representative cause and fruit when it is suitable for elegance in teaching and to suit the inclinations of people. In some instances because of obviousness, and in some instances because of not being shared. For in the passage with contact as condition feeling, you mentioned a single cause and fruit because they are basic factors. Contact is the basic cause of feeling since it defines the kinds of feeling according to the kinds of contact. And feeling is basic as the fruit of contact because it defines the kind of contact according to the kind of feeling. He mentioned a single cause in the passage, diseases due to phlegm, which is in the Anguttara Nikaya, because of obviousness. For here it is the phlegm that is obvious, not karma, and so on. Yeah, that's a very interesting passage in the suttas, where the Buddha explains that, you know, one of the reasons for sickness can be phlegm or other bile or so forth in the stomach. And it doesn't mention karma, but the reason is that there's not only karma that conditioned these, so the Buddha chose the particular condition that was obvious. But karma is still one of the supporting factors, which we shouldn't forget, you know.
So, which was the one he mentioned?
Phlegm and bile or so forth.
What was the condition for what?
Well, for the sickness, for the phlegm, you know, you've got a bad cold in your throat and so forth, or you've got a sickness in the stomach.
In fact, there are many conditions for that.
Yeah, that's the one he chose in this particular case to demonstrate that it's not only karma that conditions these things, which in our daily life is perhaps makes things a bit more obvious. Yeah. If we only think of karma, then you tend to ignore things like medicine and so forth for illness. You think, oh, it's only karma. Why should I take medicine? But in some cases, medicine can assist the other factors.
Temperature.
Yeah.
So the myth that you mentioned between contact and feeling, it's the different kinds of pasta condition different kinds of feeling and vice versa, so they mutually condition each other.
Right. Can we say Pasa comes before Vedana? We can't really, can we?
I don't think so, no. That's why feeling Patija Samapada without any understanding, why one can totally misunderstand it, because it's not a matter of order. Because they're chetasikas that arise together.
There's another interesting passage here about Abhijja. And Abhijja conditions for meritable objects for kusala. Okay, on page 180 of the Dispeller of Delusion, it mentions about Abhijja conditions meritable or kusala in two ways: as object aramana condition and as decisive support upanisya condition. For ignorance is a condition as object condition for formations of merit of the sense sphere at the time of comprehending ignorance as liable to destruction and fading away. Is that clear, that particular passage? Well, as it's aramana condition, so when, as an object of awareness, moha can be an object of awareness, and so at that time it's aramana condition.
Right.
Okay? For kusala.
Yep.
For those of the fine material
spear and same thing, but I'll carry on to the next one. But it is a condition as upinissya, or decisive support condition, and one who, with the purpose of surmounting ignorance, fulfills the instances of sense desire, merit making, consisting of giving, etc., and one who arouses the fine material jhanas. Likewise, and one who perfects that merit, while, because of being confused by ignorance, aspiring to the delights of sense bare existence and fine material existence. So there's two ways by upanisya condition. The first one would be like someone who is fulfilling the paramis or and so forth. They know they've got ignorance, but they do all sorts of kusala to overcome that ignorance. Another type of person would wanting a good existence in a future life would do the same things, but for a different reason. Okay. But for the next, in many ways, means that it is a condition for formations of demerit for akusala in many ways. So for kusala, it's only in two ways, by upanisya and aramana. How is it a condition for demerit? Is object condition, aramana, at the time of arising of greed, etc., instigated by ignorance, as object, upanisya, as predominance, and object decisive support conditions at the time of giving importance to ignorance, enjoying it. As decisive support condition, one who, being confused by ignorance and unaware of danger, kills living things and so on. As proximity, contiguity, proximity decisive support, repetition, absence, and disappearance conditions for the second impulsion and those that follow. Impulsion is javana. And as root cause, connascence, mutuality, support, association, presence, and non-disappearance conditions in one doing anything unprofitable. It is thus a condition in many ways. So you've got maybe between 7 and 8 of the 24 pachya that are conditions that ignorance is conditions here for akusala, but only two for kusala, which helps us to understand. There's a lot of conditions for akusala, it seems, but it helps us to understand the Paticchasamuppada. But yes, it is. Kusala is a condition for keeping the wheel of rebirth going. But
if there isn't any kusala, it's going to be a kusala.
Yes,
for
yes,
sure.
Yes, that's right.
When people read or hear about the Paticchasamuppada without any understanding, people misunderstand. They think, oh, there must be contact, then feeling, then this. Well, when there's some understanding, we know that these are different chetasikas that arise together. So, as in the passage Robert was quoting, the pasa conditions the vedana conditions the pasa, and the different chetasikas arise together. So why was it taught by the Buddha, pasa, then vedana, like this?
Consummate cause.
Consummate cause, I see. Good, yeah. There's different time frames for understanding the Paticchasamuppada too. It can be understood over a long period of three lives or further, and also over one life, and also in a brief series of moments, or I think as well. So it is extraordinarily really difficult to grasp, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't seem so difficult on the surface, perhaps.
Pasa is proximate cause for vedana. Vedana, is it proximate cause for pasa as well?
Banha.
For?
Banha.
Banha. No, for pasa. So the Paticchasamuppada is really talking about proximate cause condition. That's really what it's about. Why did the Buddha choose to emphasize proximate cause condition?
I think that not only proximate cause is the main factor.
The main condition.
Factor, yeah, condition.
Like it's not just the proximate cause, it's also ignorance or the
That's
other.
That's right,
factors.
There are many different conditions, but he chose to emphasize this one condition
area or cause.
See,
Upanishad is the one condition of the 24.
Approximate cause is not one of them.
It's one of the very wide conditions that it is. There's a lot of support. It can be a cause for things in the future and so forth. So.
Because of what?
Like hearing Dharma now can be Upanishad Pachya for understanding in the future.
Approximate cause not be included as one of the 24 conditions, or why is it?
Buddha taught the conditions, not just the what cause, because every cause, but the condition, like citta itself has anantara paccaya. I don't know whether that is
anantara, maybe proximity.
While the rupa does not have such condition to produce any rupa after it has fallen away. So he pinpoints the quality in each reality as condition.
Okay, that brings up another question then. But some rupa is a condition for rupa to arise again, also, I think. Not in the same way as nama, but there is. Okay, like, why does a skeleton remain? Why does a skeleton?
Not birth consciousness.
No, different, totally different.
Birth temperature.
Yeah, temperature. Okay, but that rupa, the first rupa, the initial rupa, by temperature conditions, future rupas.
The temperature in that rupa is.
Yeah, conditions of future rupas, yeah. I mean, it's totally different from the way Nama
by,
is conditioned.
That rupa is conditioned by uttu temperature, not by gamma.
No, yeah, I realize that.
But that uttu inside that rupa is conditioned by gamma from the very beginning.
Okay.
Because the rebirth consciousness is the result of gamma. So the gamma produces rebirth. Birth consciousness and jetasika and kammacharupa.
Yes.
And in the one group of kammacharupa, there is also temperature which produces.
Which can produce future. So after someone dies, even though karma has completely ceased to produce rupa, but there is temperature left. And that
originally from gamma, the first group of gamma.
Also, why a rock remains as a rock for a long period of time because of temperature inside the rupa
condition by karma.
No, not by karma in this case.
Rock is only by temperature.
Rock is only by temperature only, yeah.
The temperature derived from the first kalapa. The first group which is conditioned by karma. And that group there is also temperature to produce.
For which? For the skeleton? For...
When we were studying Pachya, the way I understood it, that everything is caused or related according to these 24 Pachya, but then we find out there are other conditions or causes outside, such as the rupa.
There are four smudana for rupa, not for citta and jetasika.
Sorry, there are what?
For smudana, for... for the arising of rupa.
But apart from rupa, well, what Sarah's asking about is the paticca samuppada that refers to a proximate cause.
You just pinpoint which is the proximate cause for that particular one, like vetana. Without vetana, how can there be tanha, craving, attachment?
There's also a relationship between the two. It may arise by, of course, conditions.
Yes, but this seems to be like an extra.
No.
It's a combination of different conditions, isn't it?
For example, khasa condition vetana, right? There are two jetasikas arising together by conditions maybe Vipaka Paccaya or Sambhuta Paccaya or other Paccaya. But this one condition, like Passa condition Vedana, or we can use Passa to say among those Jetasika, what condition specially. For example, Passa condition Vedana and Vedana condition Lopa, Tanha.
Why can't we talk about the relationship in terms of the other conditions only, like Vipaka and Upanisya and...
Yeah, we can talk about a clock, you see. There are many things, but which one connect with the other while the other is far away, but it's there by conditions.
So it's just a different way to show the relationship.
Different way to assist the consideration.
Just like the way sometimes one talks about five khandhas and other times one talks about teacher chetasika.
A series of tapes explaining the Paticca Samuppada in Thai. I'll have to listen to them one day when I get time.
Because I talk about the 24 Paccaya,
yeah.
Not the Paticca Samuppada.
Right.
Because people can recite Paticca Samuppada so well, but they don't know about Paccaya.
So well, but do they understand it?
So that's why people ask to talk about Paticca Samuppada when they don't know about Nama and Rupa, Citta, Cetasika, Rupa.
Waste of time.
But they want to hear about it.
I know the feeling. I must be one of those people.
Really? But you know about Citta, Cetasika, Rupa. Yeah.
And I do find every time I read over this Samaha Vinidhani commentary, it seems I understand just a tiny little bit more maybe than last time. It all seems to make sense somehow.
I don't mind about the wording at all.
Mm.
Whatever it is that bring more understanding about the anattaness, no matter its name, Paticca Samuppada or Khanda or whatever.
That's the real point of the whole Paticca Samuppada for sure.
Those who do not understand about the teachings or the study of Buddhism would like to understand those like Ariyasaccha and Paticca Samuppada. It seems like Citta Cetasika is so common for them, seeing and hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking.
But you can't understand the Paticca Samuppada without, because otherwise you will think of a being who's getting reborn and you think of an...
It's the last book of the five books of Abhidhamma.
The Paccaya. Talking about the Paticca Samuppada, all the remaining kinds of consciousness from the time of the first life continuum onwards should be understood as conditioned for some kind of materiality as appropriate. But since in order to show how it acts as condition in detail, the whole discourse of the Padhana must be cited. We do not undertake that. So, sort of bringing in that the Padhana has got the details in. Obviously, the Padhana is pretty...
Was the Padhana taught as the last book of the Abhidhamma because it was considered the most difficult, do you think?
Because it shows the interrelation between all dhammas, citta, cetasika, rupa.
The question that Robin asked about why this kind of discussion was conditioned for development of awareness and understanding. Do you have anything further to say?
It develops each time when there is a little understanding on and on.
I think the incredible thing is that conditions being what they are, if the right condition is there, then the development occurs, whether or not one is even aware of it.
This demonstrates no self, because there is no self to say, right now I will have more understanding. It's just the conditions that must...
There's Sankhara Khanda, so we understand what is meant by Sankhara Khanda, not I.
In fact, Panya will develop by Sankhara Khanda without...
The 50 Tetasikas.
Without trying.
Well, there is no self to try.
Viriya is also Sankhara Khanda.
Yeah.
No I who is trying.
Right. No I who is trying. But the conditions are there. Understanding must occur.
Develop.
Must. And if it's not there, we can't. The conditions are not there, we can't.
If one isn't aware of it developing, it just means it's so weak. that it's not yet apparent.
Probably, yeah.
One of it is developing, but nonetheless it is.
If the closed conditions are true, there must be development.
Yeah. So one has confidence, and it's not necessary to be concerned about the rate of development or the level of it, measure things at all.
In fact, nobody is capable.